Word of God.
From a C to a B. But we were competitive because my desire was to be equally as smart as Napoleon.
Yes. Yeah.
Napoleon is now an electrical engineer in the Dallas area, and I am an educator, pastor, minister. So by being competitive, we pushed each other to do more for ourselves. And I said all that to say this: our friendship encouraged both of us to be the best we could be in life. And I share so often with our young members here, don't let anybody tell you what you can't be in life. But today, my best friend is Reverend Johnny Eaves Jr. Many of you know him, many of you heard me talk about Reverend Eaves. Reverend Eaves has been a mentor to me, as well as a brother. He has been a counselor and a friend. And he has been faithful towards me for many years of my life. Whenever I'm in Dallas, I always try to take time to call and to go by and visit with him and share ministries. He pastors Greater Providence Baptist Church in Dallas. I can honestly say that Reverend Eaves is a true friend. And he is one man in which we have so much in common. I have shared to you that our educational levels are the same. He has a master's in education. I have a master's in education. He married a lady from Louisiana. I married a lady from Louisiana. He has a church in Dallas. I have a church here. So the parallels between our relationship are striking. But Antioch, I want to talk to you about love and friendship. Webster defined friendship as a person in whom one knows and has a bond of mutual affection. But friendship in the Bible is different in the eyes of God. Friendship in the Bible is an outward focused concept. It's not what we are doing, it's what's coming out of us. It's about our service to others rather than service to self. But friendship is more than that. God has specific expectations for what a friend must be willing to do, or what a person must be willing to do for a friend. These expectations, Brother Gaines, include remaining loyal and helpful during good times and bad times. Speaking the truth tactfully, even when it hurts. Demonstrating the kind of love described in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, being willing to lay down one's life should the need arise. And fourth, this final expectation is given to us in John 15, 13, which is the ultimate test of biblical friendship. Antioch, think about the people you have considered friends over the course of your lifetime. Now ask yourself, how many of them meet the expectation that I just listed? Most of us have many acquaintances, but very few friends. And even some of our friends may prove unfriendly or even unfaithful. Let's look at Judas in Psalms 41 and 9. Said, yes, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. Antioch, even a devoted friend may fail us when we need him or her the most. What about Peter, James, John, who went to sleep when Jesus needed them as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? As he prayed when they should have been awake, they were asleep. Jesus needed them at that particular time. Now, when we think about Peter, James, and John, they were a part of Jesus' inner circle. They were men who were close to him. Not very many men Jesus allowed to get that close to him. But these men were close to him, and Jesus said, come with me and pray. And they couldn't even stay awake as Jesus needed them in his hour. And then, my brothers and sisters, Peter even denied the Lord. Not once, not twice, three times. Our friendship to each other and our friendship to the Lord is not perfect, but his friendship to us is perfect. I share with you all the time, we are not perfect, Daryl, but we are striving for perfection. In order for us to be perfect, one day we must be transformed to look just like him, because in according to scripture, we have been predestined to look just like him in holiness and righteousness, and that's perfection. Right now, the way I am, the way we are not perfect. So therefore, we stumble and we fall, and therefore, we hurt one another's feelings from time to time. But the word here tells us we must go forward. So when we think about this word, we must not interpret or understand this word friend in a limited way. Because the Greek word means a friend at court. A friend at court. And this described the inner circle around a king or an emperor. Boy, I'm baffled at that. I thought about that, Bruce, because when we think about that, was a person that desired to have men around him, wanted to have flowers thrown in front of him, popped his coat because he wanted people to acknowledge him, wanted to have large parades, and wanted to have army contingents and all of this stuff. He said, I would love to have that stuff and demonstrate it for me. Watch that type of person. That's a dangerous man. Bible said, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And so somebody has to tell the truth. My name has an X marked on it because I'm saying, sharing what God is telling me to share. And that is a dangerous proposition in these days, because there's an enemy out there trying to stop the truth. The reason we are exposed to misinformation is because there's an enemy at work at the highest position in the and I said half the truth is a lie, and that's all we've been given. Let me move on. In John 3 and 29, it refers to the best man at a wedding. It refers to a best man at a wedding. The friend of a king would be close to him and to know this and to know his secret, but they would also be subject to him and have to obey his command. So there is no conflict between being a friend and being a servant. God's desire is for you and me to be the best we can be in our relationship with him. A love friendship to remember. My brothers and sisters, most people would define love as an emotion, affection, passion, or tenderness. The Bible describes love in terms of sacrificial action. That's why Jesus said in John 15 and 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend, or no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. even though it's rarely necessary to die for the sake of another, genuine love usually involves some level of sacrifice.
Yeah.
I know a man who sacrificed because of his love, his unconditional love.
Yes, sir.
As Christians, we are to show unconditional, selfless love to others the same way as Jesus did. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because it is the pattern Christ set for us. If we are Christian, which implies we are Christ-like, we are following the example of whom we say we love. So Jesus set the pattern. Jesus set the example of how we are to live.
Yes, he did.
God set the laws. Those moral laws are designed to show us how we are to govern ourselves.
Yes,
and Jesus came and said, I've got to give you a new commandment. And that commandment was wrapped up in love.
Yeah, yeah.
His love covers a multitude of faults. Even though I stumble, even though we fall, the Lord says, I've covered you.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Why? Because thank the law was not designed to save anybody, but show us our shortcomings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yes, yes.
But when we look like him, when we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, when we have been baptized, when we have repented of our sin, all that stuff that is in my life, the Lord says, I won't even remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the east is from the west, I will remember your stuff. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it. He wiped it away. My brothers and sisters, Jesus did it for us, his unconditional love.
Yeah, yeah.
John 13 and 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you.
Yes.
A new commandment. Jesus wrapped it all up in love.
Yeah, yeah.
God's not going to change. God cannot change. But God, what God does, Darrell, not only does he see us under the law, but he can also see us under grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And grace, Darrell, is God's unmerited favor. Yeah. So God looks at me under the law, which he can judge me and kill me. But when he looks at me from a position of love, he can forgive me. And because he forgives me, he does not see me under the law, Terriano. He sees me under what his son has done for me. So God does not see us under the law. God sees us under grace. But there are those who will not accept him. God sees them under the law. But those of us who are under grace, he says, I won't remember your sin. Because I'm looking at you differently. And that's why all of us has to come under Jesus.
Thank you.
Because Jesus paid it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was necessary to receive a new commandment.
Thank you.
In Leviticus 19, 18, that C part, Jews were commanded to already love your neighbor.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Whitworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
KQJO, St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
It's been quite a year, a test of my faith. I've seen some things that took my breath away.